Every year, one of my perpetual summer projects is to clean up the back room of our basement. Do you have that goal too? Anyone else? When we moved into the house 4 years ago, we were thrilled to find a finished basement where half of it we could easily make into a nice gathering area for our kids and our friends. And that's also the part that served as my Zoom studio during COVID. And the back half of the basement is home to the washer and dryer, the furnace and water heater, and lots of stuff. There's a wall of shelving that we have used to warehouse boxes of old files, our Passover dishes, one of the two waffle irons we received as a wedding present years ago, various baskets and art supplies, and a pristine 1990s cassette collection, complete with a still working boombox, among other things. Other boxes and bric-a-brac occupy other parts of the basement back room, loosely organized on either side of a path that's wide enough to traverse. I have found there is a fine line between clutter and storage, and my basement lives on the razor-thin edge. Every summer, I hope to get rid of the clutter, maximize the storage, dispense with things that I no longer need, and keep the things that I want. I have yet to fully succeed at this worthy mission. Some summers I make more progress than others, but I am perpetually committed to the work of sorting through all that stuff. In the basement back rooms of our spiritual lives, this is what the High Holiday season calls us to do. Not just a summer project. On these days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we stop to take stock of ourselves and determine what are we going to bring with us into the new year? What can we dispense with from the year now ended? What should we keep? And how will we do this sorting? What will ultimately help us in our High Holy Day mission to prepare ourselves to be our best selves in the year ahead? Now, some things that we no longer need are obvious. In the basement, I have a plastic drawer from an old set of Yaffa blocks that I don't think we even have anymore. Do anyone remember Yaffa blocks? Okay. Well, the drawer is filled with old technology. Long telephone cords to run from inconvenient outlets to wherever we wanted to plug in the landline phone, the charger from my Palm Pilot, a zip drive from a computer that we no longer own, my first flip phone, and tons of 3.5-inch floppy disks. All in this bucket of technology that plainly just needs to be gotten rid of. We also have several large gift bags of different sizes that are filled with more gift bags of different sizes, far more than the number of gifts that a single human being might give or receive in a single year. And I'll confess, it was only recently that I slimmed down the contents of the storage boxes of old files by getting rid of our phone and electricity bills that I had kept from our first home in Massachusetts 25 years ago. Why do I keep all of these things? And I will admit, it is mostly I, not we. Karen has no part in the bucket of technology. Well, sometimes there's a sense of nostalgia to retaining items from a past era. They remind us of a time gone by. Sometimes we think we keep things because we think we will still need them or use them someday. There's actually a video online from the Holderness Family comedy team where an invading army of alien attackers can only be repelled by throwing old gift bags at them. And the tagline of the video is, "You were right, your husband was wrong, there's a totally valid reason to keep them." The truth is, we know we all hold on to things that we know we should dispense with. And that's the same for us as we prepare to enter into this new year. There are things it's pretty obvious we do not need to carry with us. A fight with a friend over something that's ultimately inconsequential, a sense of regret for a decision long since made, judgments passed in the heat of a moment that with more reflection were incorrect. We do not need the unkind words that we shared in person or online that hurt other people, or the unkind thoughts that never made it out of our mouths or onto our screens, but still poisoned our perspectives. We can leave behind the unthinking acts that damaged relationships or otherwise affected other people. We need not keep the inattention given to those who matter in our lives or the overattention paid to things that do not. How many hours of mindless scrolling on our screens could we throw away? We can and we should dispense with these, for we do not need them in our year ahead. We toss them away like the breadcrumbs we throw at the Tashlich ceremony at Birklake Park. On the other hand, there are things that deserve our attention, things we should keep. In our basement, we have two large plastic bins purchased years ago as memory chests for each of our kids. And into these receptacles, we have placed drawings from nursery school and programs from piano recitals and playbills from school shows or Broadway productions, postcards home from summer camp, birthday party invitations, Kids with Character Award certificates, and other mementos of growing up. Our basement shelves also hold the Passover dishes I mentioned. This is a set of china we inherited from Karen's grandparents, a floral pattern from the 1940s, and we use it each year as part of our holiday observance. We also keep a large bin with all of our Hanukkah decorations, boxes of candles, an extra menorah or two, and a pretty respectable collection of small plastic dreidels of every size and color. It's pretty obvious why we keep such special things, right? They evoke memories or emotions that we value. They help us to remember milestone moments or important relationships. They continue to shape and guide us in our lives. They provide tangible support to our activities, the dishes, the dreidels, or spiritual support, the memories and stories for our souls. So too, the types of things we want to bring with us into this new year, the acts of kindness we performed, the tzedakah donated, the kind word we shared, the thoughtful gesture that conveyed our support in difficult times. We seek to sustain the friendships made or maintained this past year, the relationships deepened, the love nurtured. We retain the sense of gratitude for the blessings of our lives, the satisfaction we feel at a task accomplished, the joy of sincere celebration. The things that we have done right or well in the past year, we should bundle up and make sure they come with us into the new year. So, some things in my basement I should definitely get rid of. Some things I should definitely keep. The harder part, of course, is the stuff that's in between, things we're not sure whether to keep or to toss, things that may be more complicated. Well, I did confront one of those this summer, not in our basement, but in our garage. When we moved into the house in Virginia, I was very excited to find already installed on the brick facade between the two garage doors, a flagpole bracket. Now, I am a Jew first and foremost, but American civil religion is a second faith to me. I believe in American ideals and ideas. I find the rituals of Memorial Day and Veterans Day meaningful. I think that voting is a sacred act. And I love being able to go to the National Archives on the 4th of July and hear the Declaration of Independence read by costumed characters. And so I was quite happy to be able to have the ability to fly an American flag outside my home every day. This summer, however, I encountered a problem. The flag that I purchased 4 years ago was wearing out. It began to fade and to fray. Small holes appeared. And I knew it could no longer be appropriately displayed. So, like any other good American, I went shopping online. And in only 2 days, I had a brand new flag to hang outside my garage. But this prompted another problem: what to do with the worn out flag. It was sacrilegious to just throw it away, but superfluous to keep it. I did a little research and I read about all the proper ways one may dispose of an American flag. It can be burnt or buried or brought to local agencies who will dispose of it appropriately. Now, none of those are simple solutions. They each take time or effort or planning, none of which I had in sufficiently large supply this past summer. So for now, the old flag sits on the shelf next to where the new flag spends the night before taking in the morning and retired in the evening. Now, actually, these two flags sitting there side by side brought a different image to mind that helps me think about knowing what to keep and what to get rid of, both in my basement and in my life. There's a wonderful teaching in the Talmud about the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Actually, it's about the two sets of the Ten Commandments. The first set Moses gets from God after spending 40 days up on Mount Sinai. These are the ones that he is carrying when he comes down the mountain and finds the Israelites worshiping the golden calf. What happens to these tablets? Moses is so upset, he hurls the tablets from his hands, shattering them at the foot of the mountain. Now, once the incident is over and Moses and God have calmed down, Moses goes back up the mountain to receive a second set of tablets, again inscribed by God. And we are told in Torah that Moses takes the second set, the complete set, and puts it in the Ark of the Covenant. But what happened to the first set, the set that Moses smashed? Well, later on, 40 years later in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses retells the Israelites the story of the golden calf and the shattered tablets. And with a creative read of the Hebrew grammar and the lack of commas in the Torah text, the Talmud deduces that the broken pieces were also put into the Ark of the Covenant. That is to say, the first set, broken into pieces and presumably no longer usable, was kept by Moses and Israelites. And this was not just some Yaffa block drawer that they slept from place to place as they wandered through the wilderness. The old set of commandments wasn't thrown out. It was put into the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. And together they were carried, the old and the new, the broken and the whole, in the symbol of God's presence and might among the Israelites. Sometimes we keep what is broken, what is old, what is worn out, not because we are pack rats, or not because we don't know how to get rid of it. Sometimes we keep what is broken, even if we think we should give it away, because there is still value in it for us. Even when shattered, the stone pieces of that first set of tablets had an aura of sanctity. There can be holiness even in brokenness. The first time our hearts were broken by a love affair that ended, the disappointment of not getting that position or that promotion at work, the failure of a friendship, the bitter realization that life isn't always fair. All these we might be tempted to toss far away from us, to leave them behind, to bury or burn them or give them away, but we don't. Their pain, their hurt, their brokenness, we still find value in. We carry them in our Holy of Holies, in our hearts, as they too shape and guide us in our lives, helping make us who we are. So how do we sort things out? Some things we know we no longer need, some things we should be sure to keep, whether they are broken or whole, they still have value to us. What about everything else, the in-between stuff, the things we're not sure whether to keep or toss? How do we sort these out? Now, when we're talking about the physical stuff in our basements, there is plenty of advice from home improvement gurus. One of the more famous in recent years is Marie Kondo. You know of the KonMari method of tidying one's home and one's life? You sort through your entire house, all your belongings by category. First the clothes, then the books, then your papers, then other objects, and then sentimental items. And for each object, you consider whether or not this item still brings you joy. If it does, you keep it. And if it does not, you thank it for its service, as she wrote, and then you let it go. You can honor the contributions made to your life by your old report cards or t-shirts that no longer fit, or your name badges from business conventions, without needing to keep all of them. In theory, this means you'll only mindfully keep only the things that'll actually help you enjoy life and moving forward. There are other methods out there for sorting and discerning the fates of our belonging besides KonMari. There's the minimalist approach. There's the closet hanger method. There's the 1 year question. And there's something called the gentle art of Swedish death cleaning. My favorite of these, I have to say, comes from a meme online. Instead of Marie Kondo's question about joy, it asks of each object, if I drop this object into a pile of cow manure, would I wash it off or throw it away. The things you'd clean, obviously, are the things that you would keep. All else can be thrown away. Whatever method we use for our physical stuff, the intangible items of our lives aren't quite as easy to dispense with. What do we do with damaged relationships or unwanted habits or improper behaviors or unfortunate tendencies? Do we keep them and take them with us into the new year? Can we dispose of them so they no longer clutter our lives? What's the spiritually simple equivalent of the KonMari method? Now, I'm not sure it's a direct parallel, but perhaps the questions that we can ask ourselves are along the lines of, might this make me a better person? Or does this bring me closer to my truest self? And the methodology for such discernment is teshuvah. Usually translated as repentance, teshuvah comes from the Hebrew root meaning to turn. It's turning away from the wrong direction and turning back to the right one. It is returning to the path that you have veered off of in order to best go forward. Is there an element of teshuvah in the baggage we carry over from one year to the next? Could we turn that damaged relationship back into a friendship by setting back on the right course? Could we shed the habits that keep us from making progress towards our life's goals and return to how we want to live? Can we transform the tendencies, the behaviors, the patterns we regret into better ways to live our lives? If there are elements of teshuva present, if there is the potential for transformation, if there are ways to see ourselves as we want to be, then these things are worth taking with us into the new year. Now, that's not quite as easy as the KonMari method. The work of the High Holy Days is a little more complicated. Figuring out what to keep and what to get rid of, what to bring with us into the new year, and how to do that isn't always straightforward. I don't have all the answers for you. Both my basement and my personal spiritual life are far from perfectly organized or spotless, but that's okay. We keep on striving and trying. That's what these 10 days are for. The goal of the High Holy Days is to set ourselves up for success in being the best versions of ourselves in the year ahead. The work we need to do is to determine what are we carrying with us into the new year that will help us achieve that goal. There are things from our past year that we can certainly dispense with, things that would hold us back or inhibit our progress. Like a bucket of old technology, we can leave those things behind. There are things that we keep for the meaning that they have, the memories they evoke, or the value that they hold, like inherited China patterns. They continue to shape our experiences and our lives, and so we retain them. Then there are those in-between things, less obvious than the keepers or the tossers, and these we seek to explore further, perhaps finding ways through teshuva to redeem them, transform them, unlock their potential to guide us in the sacred work of living the life we want to live. May these High Holy Days help us discern what to bring with us into the new year. And even if 5785 isn't the year our basements are finally organized and cleaned, may it be a year of working to clear our spiritual clutter and find what helps us to be our best and truest selves. King Hiratzon, may this be God's will. And together we say, Amen. Amen.